Okay, how many of you children have been in one of my music classes here at Pilgrim? So a whole bunch of you. Okay, so for a lot of you, this will not be new. You've heard this before. But there are a bunch of grown-ups here, and they haven't heard this. And so we're going to have to be patient and go through this while they listen. Is that okay? Okay, can about three of you tell me what are some foods that you really like? Just your best yummy foods. What do you like, Bo? Pizza, okay. What do you like? Papusas. Ooh, okay. I'm getting high class here. Okay, let's have one of the girls. What do you like? Sherry. Grilled chicken. Ooh, okay. What are some things that you like that you'd have more like at birthday parties? Yes. Cake. Ooh, with lots of frosting. I don't even bother with the cake if I can help it. What else? What's something else that you'd much rather eat than broccoli? What did you say? Candy. Oh, even big boys like you want candy? Okay. So there's all kinds of good, yummy things to eat out there. What are things that you know are good for you to eat and they make you strong and healthy? Can you tell me some of those things? Milk. Good, pasture-fed, raw milk. Preferably whole. Yes. Vegetables, and they're even better if they come from your farm, right? I think so. How about some good homemade bread? It's even better, it's whole wheat. Good stuff. Okay, and these are yummy things, these are good things for you to eat, and they make you strong and healthy, right? They make your body healthy. Okay, did you know that music is like food? It's food for your mind and for your heart, or for your spirit. And there are different kinds of music, just like there's all different kinds of food. There are different kinds of music. Now, we have here some interesting things tonight that I brought along. What is this? Bread, okay. And it is Glenn's light wheat bread. I don't think it has a whole lot of wheat, but it was the best I could find. So there we have bread, kind of homemade bread. And then we have something else yummy to eat, fresh from Glenn's as well. What is this stuff? Candy. It is cherry and orange and lemon and slices of sugary stuff. Now, what is this? What is it? Toilet cleaner. Potty bowl cleaner. Would you like to have a drink? No? Why not? It smells pretty good. Why wouldn't we want to drink that? It wouldn't be healthy. Okay, what might it do for you? Some of you older people, what might potty bowl cleaner do to your insides if you drank it? Any ideas? Let's see. Precautionary statements. Hazards to humans and domestic animals. Corrosive. Causes skin burns and irreversible eye damage. Why do we have this in church? Do not get in eyes, on skin, or on clothing. Whew. Do not mix with chlorine-type bleaches or other household chemicals. I think it makes terrible fumes or something that can really knock you out. This says, note to physician, probable mucosal damage may contraindicate the use of gastric lavage or something like that. Whew, it sounds pretty fierce. Okay, we're going to talk about music now. We've got all this nice food out here, but we're going to talk about music now. I would like to have Lyle lead the congregation in singing O Worship the King, just the first verse. Thank you, dear. Okay, which Which kind of music do you think that was? Was it whole wheat bread, light wheat bread, or candy music, or potty bowl cleaner music? Which one do you think? What do you think?
Bread.
Okay, that was good music. That was like bread. It makes us strong and healthy, right? If you sing that song, you think about God, and you think how good he is to you, and how he loves you and takes care of you. Well, that's pretty good for your heart, right? And your mind. Okay, so that'll make you, that'll help your mind and your spirit grow strong and help you do what's right. Okay. How about Jesus Loves Me? Which kind of music do you think it is? Emily? Good whole wheat bread or good vegetables maybe. Ooh, just really good for you, right? You think about Jesus loving you, that's a good thing. That makes your heart and your spirit strong. Okay? What about Praise to God, Immortal Praise? Candy music? Nope, I think it's like good whole wheat bread music. It makes your mind and your heart strong. You think about Jesus, think about what God has done for you. Those are good for your mind and your spirit. Okay. Now, what about this song? Some of you might know it already. Maybe you haven't learned it. Little red caboose, chug, chug, chug. Little red caboose, chug, chug, chug. Little red caboose behind the train, 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 train. What kind of music is that? Ruthie. Candy music. Okay. Now, was there anything about God in it? No. It's just kind of a fun song, right? Just sort of fun and happy, and sing it maybe when you're cleaning or something like that. Keep you going, whatever. Okay. What about this one? You remember this one from music class, I'll bet you. Black snake, where are you hiding? Black snake, where are you hiding? Black snake, where are you hiding? Don't you get me? Okay, which one is that? Yes. Candy music, okay? It's just kind of a silly song, right? About not letting that black snake get you. I don't think they would do much to you anyway, but I don't like them around. I don't want it to get me. Okay, so that was just kind of candy music. Now I have another song kind of like that. That's kind of a special one. And it has an important message for someone in our church tonight. See if I can sing it right. Oh, Susanna, now don't you cry for me. I'm coming back from India, my true love for to see. I had to change the words a little bit. What about that one? What about Oh, Susanna? Which kind of music is that? Candy music? Okay. Probably has a little bit of truth in it if you sing it that way. Okay, so it's just happy music. It's just kind of fun. Now, if you just listen to that kind of stuff all the time, do you think you'd get a little bit silly? Is it pretty easy for children to be silly? It's pretty easy for some grown-ups to be silly, too. And if that is all, well, let's talk about candy a little bit first. If you just had candy, what would it do to you? If that's all you ate? It'd make you fat? Emily? Make you sick. Okay, so if you eat too much candy, it makes you kind of have a tummy ache. It makes you a little bit barfy. Ooh. Okay? And some children, when they eat too much candy, it makes them crabby. If I have too much sugar, it makes me crabby, and I say mean things to Lyle. So I'd better not have too much of this stuff. Now, if I eat just a little bit, it's probably not going to be too big a deal, right? If your mom gives you a piece of candy once in a while, it's probably not going to make you sick. But if that is all you had, it would make you fat and make you crabby and maybe make your skin have problems and who knows what else. So if we just have candy music all the time, what do you think that will do to our spirit and to our mind? Do you think it'll make them grow strong? Make them think about God and want to do what's right? Probably not. It'll mostly just make you silly, I think. Just make you think about things that are sort of silly. Okay. So we don't want to have too much of this kind of music. We can have all we want of the good stuff. You can just listen to all kinds of good whole wheat bread music and vegetable music all the time. That's not going to be a problem. But you have too much candy music, it's probably going to have an effect on your heart and on your spirit. Now, do you think there's music that's like this? Well, I think maybe there is, and we're going to see if we can find some tonight. In church, no less. Okay, if you drink this stuff, remember we read all that stuff on the back, and it's pretty scary that you can It could burn you, and things like that can make you really sick. Not a good thing to get in you. Okay, so just like we wouldn't drink this stuff, we wouldn't want to have any music that's like that either. And I'm going to sing another little song for you. And I want you to think about it. And you decide, is it this kind of music, potty bowl cleaner, or is it candy music? Okay? And you just have to be patient, because I know it's kind of a silly song. It's the best I could do on short notice. Georgie Porgy Puddin' and Pie kissed the girls and made them cry. When the boys came out to play, Georgie Porgy ran away. Now, which kind of music is that? Is that candy music? How many people think it's candy music? You think it's candy music? Okay, it's just silly, isn't it? Just a dumb song. Goodness. How many of you think it might be like this music? Potty bowl cleaner. Why do you say that? Micah, what do you say? You don't know? Okay. Yes. He kissed the girls. Ooh. I think most of these boys would say, yuck. Okay, so he kissed the girls. Why is that a big deal? Why would it matter if he kissed the girls? Yes. It made them sad, you're right. Well, and besides that, should let's see, how old are you, Braden? 7. And how old are you? 7. 2 7-year-olds. Do you think you boys should be kissing girls? No. Goodness. Kissing is for married people, not little boys, and not big boys either. Okay, so that song is talking about a little boy who is going out and kissing girls and being silly instead of going and playing with the boys. And so is that a good, do you think that is that truth? Is that how God wants you to do? No. So that is maybe more like potty bowl cleaner. What do you think? Okay. Then there's another song, and I'm only going to sing part of it. And it is about a man who didn't like to do the things he was supposed to. He didn't like to be very grown up. And he said that God gave men big, strong arms so they could go out and work and earn what they need. But he said, with a little bit of luck, with a little bit of luck, someone else will do all the work. Now, which kind of music is that? What do you think? Is it candy music? How many people think it's candy music? Ooh, they're getting smart now. How many of you think it's potty bowl cleaner? Now, why is that potty bowl cleaner? Maybe he was just being silly. What about it? He was lazy. And what does the Bible say about lazy people? Yes. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. That's right. He wasn't being wise, was he? And it also says, if you don't work, you don't get to eat. So he wanted someone else to do all the work so he wouldn't have to, and so he could still get whatever he wanted without working. So I think maybe that is sort of like potty bowl cleaner. Now, there are a couple things that I want you to remember. Probably you guys don't get to pick out a whole lot of music at this age anyway. But as you get older, you will listen to more music, and you will start to come up with stuff that you like and stuff that you don't like. And when you're making choices about what kind of music you listen to, one thing is to ask God about it. What does God think about it? Does he like this kind of music? Is it going to feed your spirit, feed your mind? And the other thing is to talk to your parents about it. And if there's some music that they don't like, it's a good idea to listen to them. And if there is music that they would encourage you to listen to, then listen to it. Because probably they know better than you do which is going to be good for your spirit and which is going to be good for your mind, what's going to help you grow strong and healthy as a person and as a Christian. And what will keep you from being silly or from getting irreversible intestinal damage or whatever else it was. So those are the two big things. Talk to God about your music and find out what he wants, and talk to your parents about it. So I hope that tonight, especially the grown-up people, will learn a little bit more about what makes whole wheat, bread, vegetable kinds of music, and learn to discern when it's candy music and maybe should be used in extreme moderation, and that there is music that is potty bowl cleaner and will do damage to your spirit and to your mind. All right, children, thank you for listening, and I want y'all to trot back to your parents and listen really well to Lyle. And after church, you can come and tell me something that you learned, and then I will give you a small piece of candy in moderation.
Okay, good evening. And welcome to an evening of looking at a controversial subject, music. Maybe we could just go home after hearing some of this instruction. I think there are good things that we could just take home with us with that. The subject of music in worship has divided the church probably more than anything else, or more than most other issues in the last 40 years. Because it has crossed denominational lines, and it's been an issue in more conservative churches and less conservative churches. But this topic is not about music for worship. This is not about what kind of music we should use here at Center Church for worship services. This, because we pretty much agree on that. And just for the record, as far as I'm concerned, I would like to sing a cappella music in church for the rest of my life. So don't let it bother you that I'm going to play some musical examples, some that have musical instruments, this evening. I'd like us to think of this evening as a classroom. And really, the subject needs to be taught rather than preached. And so I do not consider this preaching this evening. And so if we could think of this as a classroom, then we will hopefully not be offended by hearing some musical instruments being played, since we have no desire whatsoever to bring it into our worship service. All right. All right, so this isn't about music and worship. This topic is about what we choose to listen to tonight when we go home. What we listen to tomorrow when we're driving to work, or when we're working at home or away from home, or when we're taking a break, or when we have background music playing, or when we're plugged into an iPod, or when we're downloading music onto our computer, or whatever the case may be. So, real life, what you listen to, what goes into your brain through your ears. So the question we need to answer is this, and this my goal is just to try to tackle this question, and that's about all we'll do. Does the music we listen to, not the words, just the music, the sounds, matter? Does the music we listen to matter? So if not, why not? And if so, why? So it seems like a pretty important subject to me, one that you would think we'd have pretty much unity on, but I don't think we really do. And so I think it's a good reason to talk about it. There are some parts that we do have unity about, and I want to focus on those this evening to help lay some foundational things that we all agree on so that in 2 weeks, when we discuss the topic, choosing good music, we'll have a foundation to go from. As I was preparing, it just seemed like it would be best to have 2 evenings with this. So this is sort of a foundational evening, and we won't really get to choosing good music until 2 weeks from now. Sorry if that is a disappointment. This is just the foundation. The subject, I think, has been unjustly trampled, and often by Christians who make strong statements without knowledge and sort of shut down discussion. Statements like, rock music is the devil's music. Anything with any kind of drum is sinful and comes from Satan. Or we might have a statement like, music is neutral. Hear this? Was that a morally good sound or a morally evil sound? Yep, see, that was a ridiculous question. Of course, music is neutral. Okay. So, that means we can listen to whatever we want without consequence. So those are both pretty extreme statements. And we probably tend toward one side or the other, or maybe we're somewhere in the middle. But those kinds of statements demolish the opposition, but they don't really help us discuss the issue. They don't help us understand it. So, let's get into the subject at hand. First of all, we will look at the subject of language. All right. Language. We all know about language. We know quite a bit about language. We've used it all our lives once we learned it. And we heard it even before we learned it, and that's how we learned it, was just by hearing. We learn to speak it before we learn to write it, and so on. And that's how it works with music, too. Well, what is language? Let's look at language a little bit. First of all, well, we know what language is, right? So let's take a look at the English language. Now, there are a lot of languages other than English, right? But English has some characters that are different from some of the other languages. What are the characters that we use? What are those called? When we break the language down into its little pieces.
Alphabet.
We use the alphabet, right? We have letters. So, and we have, of course, 26 of those.
Is this working?
Okay. That spells letters right here. L-E, okay. All right. So hopefully you'll get that figure, can read my writing here. Okay, we got 26 of these letters. Well, that's neat. Okay, so that means we're just kind of breaking language down. We got letters, and let's just jump the gun a little bit here, and let's just say, okay, we've got a letter here. This is the letter. Anyone? E. I know it's a very difficult question, but just in the spirit of keeping it a classroom, feel free to just give feedback like that. Okay, so we have the letter E, and this letter, well, for starters, is this letter morally good or is it morally bad? That's what I would like to know. Morally good, morally bad. Comments? Anyone? It's neutral. Oh, so we can't really talk about the letter E in terms of good and bad? Okay. Anyone disagree? Okay. Well, that's interesting. Let's try this. Let's see if we can use the letter E. There it is, see? All right. We have, now tell me, now we got E in the context of a word. Is that letter morally good or is it morally bad?
Good.
Okay, good. And, well, what's the difference between this letter and this letter? Aren't they both E? I thought here we said the letter E is morally neutral. Here, the letter E is morally good. What do you think? Other people have some comments? Agree?
It's neutral even there, but it's part of a word that has meaning.
Oh, okay. Where am I looking? I don't know where I am. There you are. Okay, thank you. Okay, so we could say the letter E itself is still a neutral letter. We can't really assign positive or negative to it, but someone had the right idea in mind because they thought, here it seems like in this context, maybe it's a good thing. But why would you say that? Why would you say that the letter E is at least used in a good way here? It's pretty obvious, I know. Somebody tell me. Oh, it's conveying a positive thought. Well, check that out. Okay, good. Let's try this. Not true. Okay? So, we look at the letter E and we say, the letter E, is it morally good or is it morally bad? Or is it something else? And what would we say? Okay, then it's still neutral, right? It was neutral up here, it's neutral down here. But this statement right here, if it's spoken truthfully, what do we have to say about that statement as a statement? What about its value, moral value maybe?
It's negative.
It is negative. I'd say it's pretty negative. It's expressing, if it's truly expressing what somebody is thinking or feeling, that's serious business. And so, what is the purpose of language? Anyway, why do we have it?
Convey ideas.
Good.
Communicate.
Right? Okay. So, what are some things that it can communicate? Okay, so communicate. This is the word communicate. Okay, we got ideas there, and then emotion. What was the first one?
Thought.
Oh, thought, okay.
That's ideas too.
Right, okay.
Values.
Okay, we can communicate values through statements that we say. So we can say propositional truths, and maybe that would be one way that we could convey values here. Other things?
Feeling.
Feeling, right. We can give information. That sort of thing. You know, we know how we communicate. Obviously, communication is a two-way thing. It's communication if it gets from one person to another person. But that's the purpose of language. Well, Can we see by these two examples, apparently we think that language could be used in good ways or negative ways, apparently. So what are some ways that language could be used in good ways? Go for it. Just throw out some ideas. The way you'd use text. Okay, encouragement, that's good. Okay, so that would be the word coming to us, and so reading truth, that wouldn't be so much speaking, but that's having it come in. What are some other ways that we use language in a good way? Okay. Sympathy, empathy. We can do some things toward God. What are some things we can do toward God that are good? Good use of language.
Worship.
Sing. We can sing. We can praise, thanksgiving, lots of things here, okay? So what are some negative ways that we can use language?
Gossip.
How was that?
Gossip.
Okay, gossip. Something over here?
Arguing.
Okay, demeaning. Good. Good, criticize.
Lying.
That's a big one. Anything else in the Bible that we're not supposed to do, that we would do with words, that people would do with words?
Toward,
swear. Aha. What's that one?
Blasphemy,
okay. Okay, and there was another one?
Bear false witness.
Right, false witness. Okay, so these are ways that we think are negative. Why do we say these are negative? You notice I'm asking pretty much obvious questions here, just because I'm an obvious person. And it helps me to think through things. All right, well, this makes sense. Okay, so that's why I'm asking obvious questions. Why is this negative? Okay, it's, yes, okay, apart from the nature of God.
Tears down people.
Good. Lying. What about lying? What's one reason what lying might not be? What's one reason lying is negative?
God, built on Dwight said, God is truth.
Okay.
So lying is saying something that's not true, so it's not in accordance with the nature of God.
Okay. Good. Mm-hmm. And the Bible says something about lying? Yeah, okay. Bible commands against it, right? So we know it's a sin because the Bible, Jesus, you know, God says, don't do this. And all these things, we know we shouldn't do them because God says we shouldn't. And also, we can know from the character of God that these are apart from that. And these are good because we understand these from Scripture as well. And these are according to the character of God, to encourage each other, to build each other up, to worship, and so forth. So these are ways that language can be used in positive and negative ways. And we would say, therefore, that it is, if we're talking about language at least, like this, we're talking about morality, because we can sin with this. So that is morally wrong to do that. And we can also obey God, and that's morally good. Okay, so that was the first point. Just looking a little bit at language. Well, the thing about it is, music is a language, and it communicates. Okay. So that means if we're going to make good music choices, we need to understand this language of music. So that's what we're going to look at next. What is music? You know, we got this right here, right? Is this music? What do you think? That looks like music. Is this music? It depends on definitions. I'd maybe call this printed music. But what is actually music? What are some things that characterize music? Sound, yeah, okay, so when we're dealing with music, we're always dealing with sound, okay? And let's see, there are some ways that we can characterize these sounds, about four ways. It depends how we think about it, but the most four basic things to think about a sound.
High.
What was it?
High.
High, okay. And so what does that have to do? It could also be low, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so it has to do with pitch. Okay? We've got pitch. We can go up and we can go down with sounds. With the pitch.
Volume.
Okay, we got volume. We can get louder. We can get louder. We can get softer. Okay?
Duration.
So we've got, what order am I going to put this in? I'm not exactly sure. It doesn't really matter. Let's put it right here. So we have duration. We have notes that are held out longer, shorter, longer. So it sort of has to do with rhythm. And there's one other characteristic of sound that goes to make music. What is it? It's a funny word.
Harmony.
Okay, harmony. And that's good. We'll put harmony under as a subcategory of pitch, since it's several pitches together. In some ways, we could think about melody, harmony, and rhythm, but I've chosen to do this just to sort of get it even a little more basic.
Uh-huh. Oh,
timbre. Yeah. What a funny word. It looks like timber. And if you were French, you would probably pronounce it timbre or something like that. At least we want to imagine that we would. So, timbre. What is timbre, Joel?
It's the quality of sound.
It's the quality of the sound. So, it's what makes you know that if I play the keyboard and I sing the same pitch for the same length of time at the same volume, you'd still know it's my voice and not the keyboard because of the kind of sound it is. It's just the quality of the sound. So, different voices will have a different quality. Men's voices will have a different kind of sound than women's voices, and different instruments will have different qualities. Okay, so it's nothing to get scared about. This is just the basic, four basic ways that we categorize music, categorize sound. And so these are the four tools that a composer will use. These are the only four things a composer has to work with. And so I don't want us to be mystified by the subject of choosing good music and all that. I want us to realize that it's not that complicated, and there are things that a composer can do to communicate. So let's figure out how that can happen. And that is where these things come in. I guess we're using this one. Is that the word? Now, I realize a lot of these things are also going to be sort of self-evident, but I want us to think about it, that, hey, a composer is doing this, and usually for a reason. So if we're going to receive sounds into our ears, somebody probably did them a certain way for a reason. So let's understand why. First of all, with pitch, we have one thing. Did you know that extreme ranges will affect us differently than just sort of moderate ranges? Of course, if a violin plays high, a violin could play sort of high, but it has a high range. But if it plays really, really high in its own range, that's when it makes an extreme impact. So, here's a clip. So did you hear that the communication that was happening was different, very different, when the instrument was playing high as to when it was just a relaxed range? It was a very different emotional content of the music. We didn't have any words to go with that. It was just the music that we heard that. And it's not that we could put words to it and say, it was communicating, well, I disagree with that. You know, it doesn't give propositional truths. Music is abstract, so it's much more difficult to analyze, and also gets more emotionally heated topic because we have things that we like. So, but that's something we can agree on. Extreme ranges impact differently from just moderate ranges. All right. Well, here's this. Dissonance tends to create unrest or tension. So, and then consonance, or the lack of that clashing sound, tends to create restfulness. Okay, this is pretty obvious again, but let's listen to another example. And this one does have words with it. I'll write the words down as we go. Was this thing turned on? Okay. So there was just a whole lot of dissonance, getting louder and bigger. And it was dissonant the whole way until finally the last word, fire, it just opened up. So the composer was being very specific with that. And you could feel, hopefully you could feel a little bit of the emotional impact of that. Let's see. How about this one? Melodies, whether they are sung or not, impact differently if they are conjunct or if they are disjunct. So, flowing singable melodies, even, you know, singable melodic, instrumental melodies still have a different impact if they are singable. So, this is an instrumental example, and let's see how this melody, the melodies that you hear, impact. Okay, some thoughts that went through your mind as you listened to that. Anyone? Okay, conjunct, maybe I want to see. Right, it wasn't very singable at all. Versus disjunct. So it had a certain emotional impact to hear all that. You could think of that sound as being frenetic, maybe. A lot of activity going on. What would be some things that you might associate with that? I'd say frenetic activity.
Chasing.
A chase, something like that, right? Something frantic. And actually, this is supposed to represent a scene where people are driving quickly to the hospital. Okay? And so the composer was trying to convey that, and I think did so pretty effectively. There's nothing calm about it. There's nothing relaxed. There's tension because there's lots of dissonance, and they're disjunct. The disjunct melodies really jar and have an emotional impact. But there was no text. Okay, let's sing. Here's some other ways that harmony can impact, or that pitch can impact. This one is through the use of harmony. So harmony can tell us when to be done, right? So we have Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. we knew what we're supposed to be done. Okay, let's try this. The Bible tells me so. The Bible tells me so. Okay? So, nobody was telling, you know, if we would have been singing it together as a congregation, we would have heard that we should keep going. Okay? So, nobody told you that. You could just hear that. And that's just because of a very simple harmonic difference. So, it can tell us when we're done, when we're not done. Okay, major and minor tonalities, major and minor keys really impact differently. That's an emotion, impact differently emotionally. So let's go with, what a friend we have in Jesus. Let's sing about the first two lines or something like that. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Okay, so somebody tell me, what are some of the primary, what's the kind of the primary message you hear there when we sing that? Some very strong concepts there from the text.
Joy.
Peace.
Belonging.
What's a significant word in the text?
Jesus.
Friend. Jesus and friend. Those are significant words. And okay, so good. All right, let's try this. I'd sing it as a congregation if I thought we knew it well enough. I'm not sure that we do. So we'll go with this. I'll turn it down a little bit.
What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear.
Okay, so What are the main concepts of the song? Any ideas?
The same ones.
Okay, the same ones. There's the same text happening there. Good. What are some of the big? Are there some big words that seem significant to you? We got Jesus, friend. Are there any others that seemed significant that time? Okay, sins and grief. Yeah. And carry, I heard you, sins and grief and carry. Those words, that became what the song was about. Not so much Jesus being a friend as being Jesus being the person who carries our sins and our griefs. Okay? So it had a different emotional impact. Just the music was different, but the words were the same. So music communicates. And it wasn't the fault of the text. The text changed its meaning in a way, or at least had a different emphasis because of the music. So, let's see. What are some other things we can look at? We've got duration, and we'll just take a quick look at each of these. Duration. Long-held notes, pretty obvious, communicate differently from short, quickly played or sung notes. Repetition. Okay. Yeah, let's do this one. We want to sing this one. If you want to, you can look at 573, or if you can sing it from memory or sing it from here, that's okay. So, this is sort of a melodic and a rhythmic thing. So, duration, again, is talking about rhythms. But how does this impact? In Angels, Holy, High, and Lowly, a beautiful piece, very well written, and very effective with the text and the music together. Okay, we see at the beginning we have da 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 da, and that comes up a lot. Da 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 da, and so forth. Okay, so there's repetition. There's just repetition of rhythm happening there, and repetition can really help bring unity, rather than just being all one big different everything different. So it can help bring unity, and if we have too much of it, get a little bit monotonous as well. So let's sing. Well, before we sing. Notice this right here. There's this little melody chunk. da 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 dum dum. And do you notice this chunk is exactly the same thing, only it's just a little bit higher. Da 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 dum dum. Right, it sounds the same. It's just a little bit higher. And this one is the same thing. Da 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 dum dum. It's a little bit higher yet. And then it changes. Da 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 dum. So this is kind of an effective use of writing a melody, because if you would have written earth and sky, all living nature, man the stamp of thy creator, it would have had a very different impact than actually changing the pitches a bit. So I hope you could hear that and feel that. Let's sing it, and let's appreciate the fact that this is very similar. So there's unity here, but there's also a little bit of variety. It's not exactly the same thing over and over again. And it's very effective and beautiful.
Angels holy, high and lowly, sing the praises of the Lord. Earth and sky, all living nature, man the stamp of the Creator. Praise ye God the Lord.
That's beautiful and very effective and for the glory of God. Okay, dynamics. Obviously, dynamics make a huge impact, and we'll just not, that's talking about volume. I'll just not play an example on that. And timbre. There are a lot of different colors of sound, and they make a different emotional impact as well. So again, we might not think about it, but different combinations of instruments sound completely different and will communicate different things to us. So okay, so that was about two instruments. What were they? There was a guitar and a kind of a flute-like instrument up there. Kind of a mournful sound in the flute. And yes, the song, it is actually a song that has text then, and it is about Ireland and pretty much its sad history. But that had to do, you could hear just the sound that was created by having the flute, it communicate. Mostly we had two kinds of instruments there. And they were, there was a piano, and it was actually strings. It was very sustained, like an organ. And so it was actually, that was done electronically there. So the use of strings can create a very lush sound and communicate a lot differently. Enough on all of these things. I want us to start thinking, though, between now and in 2 weeks when we keep discussing the topic of choosing good music, well, think about the sounds that are going in your head, that you think the kind of music you're listening to, and what's happening with these things. And can you tell what a composer is trying to communicate? And most of the time a composer is trying to communicate, and usually can do so somewhat effectively. Okay. Okay, enough on that. So, hope that helps you think about music not so mysteriously, and we can discuss this, okay? And we cannot be worried about, just not get worried about anything. We can discuss it intelligently, and we can say, hey, this is what happens in music, and near as we can tell, this is how it influences and affects, if it does. So, the last point is music and morality. It's a big subject and fairly important, also fairly divisive. So, here are two statements that I agree with. See what you think about it. The first statement is, music is not a moral issue. The second statement is, that I agree with, is, music is a moral issue. Okay? So, I hope you didn't get too nervous there. And that is simply because, what are we talking about? And we're talking about just the sounds. Can the sounds be moral, like talking about the letters of the alphabet, or what are we exactly talking about? So, instead of using the term moral issue, I want us to look at from the other side, which is often how it's been described, and that is music neutral? Is it a neutral means of communication? And people who say, and there are a lot of Christians who think that music is a neutral medium, and the way we answer this question is really important, and we have to answer it before we can ever talk about how to choose good music. So, if music is neutral, first of all, people who think music is neutral admit that music communicates, but they will say that it communicates within a culture, that a culture assigns meanings to sounds, and those meanings could be changed and understood differently. So it's not the music itself, it's just what the culture brings to it. And I would like to hear your comments pretty soon. I'm going to read some examples from people who think this is the case. So, there's no such thing as Christian music. That's because all kinds of music are capable of expressing Christian thought. It's not the music that's Christian, it's the lyrics. Let's go with... But all examples I mentioned above have to do with the motives of the heart, not the music itself. That is why I believe that music in itself is a neutral force. Let me give you a better example. Take a knife, for instance. With it, you can cut bread, carve or roast, loose someone who's bound by ropes, or you can do harm and even kill someone. In other words, you can be destructive and murderous. The knife itself, when put in an atmosphere of hoodlums, becomes a weapon. But put in a kitchen, it becomes a tool that's useful, even necessary for the preparation of nourishment for your family. And a few other comments. Music, per se, can be considered morally neutral. It is neither sinful nor holy. Its morality is determined by the use to which it is put. And one more, there is no intrinsic meaning in the music itself. Musical meaning is always within the culture, and it may even occasionally shift or change. So, a lot of Christians are saying this, and so if we are going to disagree, which I think some of you might, then we need to know why. Otherwise, choosing good music is sort of an irrelevant topic. So, what are your comments about, after hearing these comments? What are some thoughts? Anyone willing to stick your neck out?
Oh, that last one, I mean, in some ways, has some relevance to it, I would say. It has some truth. It sounds like it makes a good point. Mm-hmm.
Yes, so he's saying musical meaning is always within the culture and that it may even occasionally shift or change.
I find a difference what culture I'm in. Mm-hmm. I interpret something.
Mm-hmm. It definitely does. Culture does affect it somehow. Mm-hmm. Marvin.
I think if I heard that piece played with a very fast one, and that makes my heart race. Makes me feel that way. Mm-hmm. And on the other hand, if I hear that soft, flowing, melodic piece you play towards the end, that's a much more restful. Mm-hmm. I would think that would have the same effect on somebody around the world. But
okay.
That I couldn't
mistake. Mm-hmm. Hey, that's Joel.
Well, yeah. And I found it very disturbing. correctly portrayed values of truth.
Okay.
And I think that may enter in some of those expenses.
Okay. Thank you. All right.
I think the correlation talking about music as a language is a pretty valuable understanding, because I'm thinking, you know, on this question of is it cultural or is it not? I'm just thinking, coming down the side of being cultural, take a word like the word bloody. Our language is descriptive, but it doesn't have any negative connotations. In Britain, where they also speak English, it's got a very negative connotation. Mm-hmm. And there are lots of words like that. Both speaking English, but meaning something completely different. Mm-hmm. So there is something about context and mm-hmm. culture with language, even mm-hmm. when the language is, I guess you say the same. Mm-hmm.
Good, yes, there is. Yes, thank you. Other comments? All right. Well, the time is marching on. So, there are a whole lot of things that could be said about this, and I don't want to say everything about it because I'd like you to help with it. But several things that may be helpful and that may help us think about it. One is that, yes, music always exists within a cultural context. So the question is, let me back up. The question of the neutrality of music arose about 45 years ago, and it's been around ever since in Christian circles. And the question has not been around, as far as I know, in non-Christian circles, because it's not an issue. So, Christians are the ones who are saying, music is neutral. And I think it's helpful to see, well, what do non-Christians say about it? Because they don't have any vested interest in whether it's neutral or not. They just do whatever they want, right? For the most part, it doesn't matter if it communicates moral value or anything like that. So, let's see what some non-Christians say about it. Well, for one, let's see. If we look back in history, we can see that this whole idea of neutrality of music is kind of a new idea. Plato said, "Through foolishness, they, the people, deceived themselves into thinking that there was no right or wrong in music, that it was to be judged, good or bad, by the pleasure it gave." So that's what Plato thought a long time ago. People thought, judged the value, the rightness or wrongness of music, just by how it made them feel. From the 6th century, Anicius, with a funny last name, wrote, "Music can both establish and destroy morality, for no path is more open to the soul for the formation thereof than through the ears." I don't have the quote. Was it Aristotle or was it Plato? One of them who said that if he could write the music for a country, he wouldn't care who writes the laws. David Henry Thoreau, I don't think he was a Christian, said, "Music can be intoxicating. Such apparently slight causes destroyed Greece and Rome and will destroy England and America." There's another one, Cyril Scott, who is an eminent 20th century composer. I'll just kind of paraphrase what he said. He said, it's a little bit thick. We usually think of civilizations, cultures producing music, and the music reflects the culture. But he says that if you examine history, you see that the opposite is true. He says that there are innovations in musical style, and then invariably those innovations are followed in politics and morals. And what is more, the decline of music in Egypt and Greece was followed by the complete decline of the Egyptian and Grecian civilizations themselves. So that's what he thinks. I don't know that he's a Christian. Robert Shaw, one of the most famous composers from the 20th century, non-Christian, when asked if music does it have or communicate moral value, and he said immediately, "Well, yes, he thinks all of the arts have and communicate moral value. It has moral implications." And so, it's interesting that It seems that non-Christians who are pretty heavily involved in music understand that there is a very deep influence through the sounds themselves. And they don't say it's neutral because they use them to their advantage, whatever they want. But it's only in the Christian community. So that makes me think. Okay, what's happening? Who's being the salt of the earth here? And Christians are saying it's okay to use any kind of music whatsoever to praise God or for personal enjoyment or anything, because the music itself is neutral. So there are a lot of other things we could look at, and let's look at a few things. We could see that music does truly influence people. And you've heard stories about how it influences plants and animals. And I've heard those sorts of studies discussed with disgust. And as if to say, yeah, the plants that died when they played rock music, that just shows that plants died when they played rock music. Yeah, as if that's, you know, has no really application to real life, you know? But it's true. Studies have shown that music influences things. So regardless of what we think about it, we can we can at least look at them. One, this isn't a study. This is just a well-known fact. Muzak, which is elevator music. They're the people who started producing mood music that gets played in the backgrounds. And it's the stuff you're not supposed to think about, but that's supposed to help the owner of the establishment in which you are listening to the music. Right? They have written and used music for a very long time to try to make people stay in a store longer, buy more things, get out of a restaurant faster so you can get more people through, so you can make more money. Or in the evening, have them stay longer so that they will buy wine in the evening and pay more money. And if music is truly neutral and does not influence, it influences. We can say that for sure. Okay, movie soundtracks. Movies would not be the same. They would have not nearly the emotional impact if they did not have music with them. There are studies, yes. Someone says here, it is a well-established fact that the human body and mind can be controlled and altered with music. Many scientific and medical studies have proved conclusively the tremendous effects of music upon the human psychology, physiology, and anatomy. Music is used to lower blood pressure, treat mental illness, depression, mental retardation, insomnia, and others. And some researchers at UCLA found that premature babies gained weight faster and were able to use oxygen more efficiently when they listened to soothing music. I think it's interesting that those babies did not have any cultural associations with the music, but it did influence them. So, and there are a lot of other examples. I wanted to play one for you. I'll just play this one for you yet. If I would play this example anywhere around the world to a group of children, I wonder what would happen. Oh. I wonder what would happen if I would turn the volume on. Okay, so what usually accompanies that kind of music? Anyone? What kind of physical activity?
Marching.
You can hear it and feel it, and maybe it's a cultural association, but wait, it has a strong rhythm that you can just about feel by listening to it. I'm not saying it's good or bad, I'm just saying it's there. And if we play that for children around the world, regardless of their cultural associations, they would move. Guaranteed. It is a physical music because it has a driving rhythm, and they would probably do something with their feet. Okay? So, and it also doesn't have text to color it. So, around the world, I think this would have a very similar effect. And that is not possible if music is a neutral medium that is only given its meaning from cultural associations. There are so many other things that could be said that we're just not going to. So, in conclusion, Music is a language, and it communicates powerfully through the use of pitches, through rhythms, through dynamics, through timbre, and it communicates whether or not text is present. And it shapes the meaning of the text when the text is present. So it's true that music is shaped by the culture, but music can communicate without cultural associations, and it can communicate across cultures. And so it cannot be neutral because it communicates without the use of text by itself. So this subject is important. We barely scratched the surface. And I hope this has laid a little bit of a foundation so that we can be agreed on some of these basic things as we discuss the topic in 2 weeks about choosing good music. So, in the meantime, think about the music that you're listening to and figure out what's happening with it. And if you have questions, bring those in 2 weeks, or better yet, this is what I would actually like, write them on a piece of paper and stick them in our mailbox by this Sunday would be great. And if it works to incorporate some of that into the next topic, we'll try to do that. Thank you for your participation, and may God be glorified as we use his music. Let us stand for a closing prayer. Oh, Julian has a comment, so let's remain seated.
Kathy has a praise item, so I think she could be worthwhile to share. Mm-hmm.
Amen. Okay, no surgery necessary because the lump is gone and they don't know why. Well, we do. So, amen. That's a praise item. All right, let's stand for a closing prayer. Father God, thank you that you've given us a beautiful gift of music. And thank you that you want us to use it for your glory. Teach us how to do that, Lord. And I pray that we will be able to discuss this subject constructively in the next few weeks, and that you will be honored. We'll learn how to glorify your name and praise you better. In Jesus' name, amen.